Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love. What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free, starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today. Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain. Unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
And thank you for taking the time to download the Compass Catholic Podcast. This is Manager Monty Godsway. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best practices for handling money. Do you realize there are over 2,500 verses in the Bible that deal specifically with money and possessions? And in our Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way, we'll use these biblical principles to show you how to remove the debt that you've accumulated. We'll also show you the importance of saving, investing, giving, and how to deal financially with a crisis, and a really important one, how to have a better relationship with God. You can learn more by going to CompassCatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and with me are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Last week, we began the discussion on health care sharing programs. Remember, these are not insurance programs. They are called health care sharing plans or programs. So this week, we want to get into a discussion on the top four health care sharing programs. We want to share with you the differences between these plans and also the differences between traditional healthcare coverage. But Evelyn, I want to throw this question out at you to get the discussion going. Help me decide whether these sharing programs are right for me or not.
Well, if you're thinking about ditching regular health insurance, let's talk about some things to be wary of if you're thinking about a healthcare sharing program. The first one is people with pre-existing conditions. The terms and conditions around definitions of pre-existing conditions vary with each program. So in general, there's some time limit applied, and sharing around subsequent events related to the condition are either not shared or they're shared at a lower level.
I got the impression that none of the programs will decline you membership if you have pre-existing conditions.
That's what I read.
Okay. But the coverage could be reduced based on a pre-existing condition.
Or there may be limitations on how much they'll cover. And a pre-existing condition is defined as signs, symptoms, diagnosis, treatment, or medication for a condition that existed prior to membership. So okay. It's anything that was out there before you became a member.
So if you have any pre-existing condition, you need to be sure to understand exactly what is going to be covered and what is not going to be covered if you go with any specific health share caring plan, and at which level you go in at.
That's right. Now, the other thing that we talked about last week was the restrictions on some of the sharing options if you do not follow some biblical principles. So there are often restrictions for people who use tobacco or other drugs, or who have a habit of drinking and driving. And these can all result in otherwise eligible expenses being rejected for the sharing program.
And tobacco use is prohibited across the board in all healthcare sharing programs. So if you're a smoker,
don't even think about it.
Don't even think about it. This is not for you. I think that should be a great big, you know, huge red sign for you. If you won't believe anybody else that's been telling you, you got to quit smoking. You know, these healthcare sharing plans, they don't even want to talk to you.
You know, in the reality of it, traditional insurance will raise your rates if you check the box that says, yes, I smoke.
Well, that's right. And even life insurance.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yep.
Everything. You smoke, you pay more. And not just for the cigarettes.
Well, speaking of cigarettes, the other thing that they reject is marijuana usage, even in states where it's legal. So even if you're in a state that has legalized marijuana, if you're a marijuana user, they'll reject you from these programs.
You're talking recreational marijuana or medical?
Recreational.
Okay, so medical marijuana, they still will accept you.
I didn't see anything specific about medical marijuana.
But
and
like you said earlier, like you said last week, do your homework, check each plan out. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, another thing they're going to restrict you on is hazardous activities. What do you think a hazardous activity is, John?
Well, I haven't done any skydiving lately, but I'm sure that would be included. I think each program is different about what they're going to say constitutes a hazardous activity. You know, it could be that just riding a motorcycle, that's your mode of transportation, is a motorcycle, that could be considered a hazardous activity. And if you, if it's accepted, if you ride a motorcycle with a helmet, but you ride without a helmet, that could be considered. So you have to understand, you have to read the fine print and really understand what is acceptable and what isn't, and then apply it to your own life and the way you live your life.
Well, the other thing that I read that was considered a hazardous activity was three-wheeled all-terrain vehicles or off-road vehicles, especially if you have an accident as a result of reckless behavior or alcohol or drugs. So if you're not very smart about what you're doing and you get into an accident and it's your fault, a lot of these healthcare sharing programs will not cover the costs. And they also prohibit rock climbing, spelunking, skydiving, or bungee jumping.
Another thing that you need to be aware of is that people who receive some type of federal or state assistance, there may be caveats in there with regards to having a secondary payment source for the eligible items to be covered.
If that's your situation, you need to be aware of that when you're looking into these and investigating them. One of the things I found interesting, considering that when we talked last week, we said that the children count as a unit and you're not penalized for having 15 kids versus one kid, is that you may be exempted if you're planning to adopt children with medical conditions. Now, I thought that was kind of sad.
Yeah, I think it is, because what that means basically is that a child who has a pre-existing condition is going to be subject to the pre-existing conditions clause. And, you know, there's an awful lot of people who are adopting children specifically because they do have a pre-existing condition and they want to be able to help that child overcome that as best as possible and get them the treatment that they need. You have to take that into consideration, right or wrong. It exists, and you got to know whether the plan that you're trying to get into considers that a pre-existing condition and how they're going to treat it.
And that seems to be totally in opposition to the mission of these organizations. So that one really doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, that's weird. How about sometimes excluded are people who require expensive ongoing prescriptions? So each healthcare sharing program has its own prescription drug policies, but generally prescriptions are only shared related to a specific medical need and only for a short duration. So if you get the flu, they'll pay for Tamiflu. But if you've got a huge ongoing drug cost that you need for maintenance, they may not pay for it.
Basically, is on a per incident basis, is what you're saying.
Yes.
And so maintenance prescriptions are not eligible for sharing at all. So, for example, if you're on cholesterol medicine or high blood pressure medicine.
Or if you're a diabetic that takes insulin.
Yeah. So they're not going to cover that. And if they doctors feel like your condition could be corrected by losing 100 pounds and that type of thing, then they're probably going to direct you into a program that will help you accomplish that.
Now, they do encourage you to go to prescription discount programs like Needy Meds or GoodRx or OneRx or Lowest Med in order to get your prescription. So they kind of point you in a direction that would help you save some money there, but they don't pay for it as part of the program. You know, the other thing I found really interesting is that if you're the type of person who wants to be sure your medical bill is paid when they're incurred, this may not be the right option for you to get a healthcare sharing program.
Basically, what we're saying here is that all of the healthcare sharing programs have really strong histories of success. There is no guarantee of payment. And focus on the word guarantee, because remember, these are all voluntary programs. There is no contract that you're signing.
They are not a health insurance organization.
Exactly. In fact, each group makes it abundantly clear that they are not insurance. And the membership that you're signing up for is like any other membership. It's not a contract. Typical disclaimers might be something like, if anyone chooses to assist you with your medical bills, it's going to be completely voluntary because participants are not compelled by law to contribute towards your medical bills.
Or maybe other words are, therefore, participation in the ministry or a subscription to any of its documents should not be considered to be insurance.
Ultimately, members are placing a great amount of faith in these programs. Historically, it's a faith well placed, but the programs do not receive state regulatory oversight and any of the protection that would be afforded in a traditional insurance plan. That said, to date, the programs, like I said, they adhere to their guidelines. They've shared billions of dollars in eligible medical expenses. It seems to work. If you go read comments on the internet, it's like anything else where you're going to read comments. There's going to be people that are extremely pleased, and there are going to be those people who, for whatever reason, are less than pleased, and they will voice their opinions.
So the success of these healthcare sharing programs depends on upholding and administering the member guidelines. And on the whole, the programs seem to have done this very well, and the members seem to have participated in the programs the way they're required to. But there's no guarantee. There's no actuaries used, so the monthly shares are based on experience, and the levels are set based on member sharing, and they may be susceptible to over or underfunding.
Another thing that you need to consider is if you're a person who in the past has or used medical deductions from your insurance premiums on your income taxes and things like that, these are not considered insurance premiums, and therefore the share that you do every month is not a deductible expense from a tax standpoint. And so as a consequence, self-employed individuals cannot claim the above-the-line deduction for health insurance premiums, nor can other individuals count the monthly share amount premiums as a medical expense as an itemized deduction.
The bottom line is, do your homework. Read and study about each and every one of the healthcare sharing programs. Look for the one that best interests you. Call. Ask questions. Compare the coverage that you currently have with your traditional insurance. Look at the premium costs versus the sharing cost. You're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. And we've been sharing a lot of information with you last week and again today regarding healthcare sharing programs. And if you want some of these notes that we've been taking, we'll share these with you. Simply go to compasscatholic.org. click on blogs and look for the one that's called Healthcare Sharing Programs, because we have listed information about the top four healthcare sharing programs that we're about to discuss. So Evelyn, let's dig deep into the top four programs and take us through some of the differences.
We're going to start with Christian Healthcare Ministries, which was founded in 1981, and it was really the original medical expense sharing platform.
So if you think about that, this is 1981. This program is 37 years old.
So that's a pretty good track record.
Yeah, yeah. They're a 501c3 tax-exempt organization, and over the course of their lifespan, have shared over $2.5 billion, that's with a B, in medical bills. The total membership for Christian Healthcare Ministries is approximately 320,000 members, and they have different levels of options to choose from.
And they have, like we talked about earlier, most of these have some kind of a Christian bent to them. So there's different requirements for membership. So the Christian Healthcare Ministries requirement is, and I quote, "To be Christian Healthcare Ministry members, participating adults must be Christians living by biblical principles, including abstaining from the use of tobacco and the illegal use of drugs, following biblical teaching on the use of alcohol, and attending group worship regularly if health permits. There are no restrictions based on age, weight, geographic location, or health history."
So they do have exemptions for pre-existing conditions. And the patients are essentially cash payers with their doctors and are responsible for negotiating the best deal that they can on their medical expenses.
Now, we have some friends who have these healthcare sharing plans, and from listening to their stories, when they tell the doctor they don't have regular traditional insurance, the doctor's more than willing to give them a break on the prices.
That's true. And in fact, there's been a couple of occasions, and this is the couple where the spouse has kidney issues, where the doctor just didn't charge them anything at all.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing story, to be honest. But, you know, members receive the bills and they interact directly with the medical provider's billing department and pay the medical provider directly. And once a member gets a bill and negotiates the price, the bill is then submitted to CHM for processing.
So I assume when you go in, because the first thing they ask at the office is, can I see your insurance card? So at that point, you alert them that you're going to pay cash. Do you have a
healthcare sharing plan?
Right, a healthcare sharing plan. But didn't you ask, do you have a list of pricing? I mean, or is this something that you meet one-on-one with the doctor?
It's each one is different. Some of them, we'll talk about that in a minute when we get into the others. But on this one, on CHM specifically, you negotiate with the doctor for a lower price. Some of them will negotiate for you.
So what do you charge for a physical? And then you go from there.
Yes.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Yep. And, you know, it's interesting that typically healthcare sharing members do not have access to negotiated costs that the insurance companies and the doctors and the hospitals are working from. But like we mentioned previously, most medical providers are so happy that they don't have to deal with the insurance companies and their claims process.
The money they're saving in office with processing.
They're more than willing to work with people who are going to pay cash.
Well, it's like you said, Steve. I mean, you ran into a provider recently that doesn't accept insurance anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to deal with a cash
basis.
And it's, you know, the insurance industry has gotten so overwhelmingly intrusive in our healthcare, which I can understand why, but there's just so much administrivia that comes with that, that a lot of the doctors will cut you a break and give you a better price if they don't have to deal with all that stuff. The next one is Liberty HealthShare, and this one dates back to 2014 when three different healthcare sharing groups merged, and some of those had roots going back to the mid-90s, so that's almost as old as the CHM that we just talked about. And they bounded together to form Liberty HealthShare, and they approximately have 202,000 members.
So this organization has a reputation of being one of the most inclusive healthcare sharing programs because they allow a wider latitude of religious belief among the members. On their website, they state it's a mission that many people can get behind, whether they're Protestant, Catholic, Mormon, Jewish, or don't identify with any of these groups. You know, it's a fact that while other programs will require prospective members to sign statements of faith, or they may contact your church to verify that you go there, they know who you are, that kind of stuff. Liberty merely requires that, among other points, you agree that everyone has a fundamental religious right to worship the God of the Bible in his or her own way, and that it's our spiritual duty to God and our ethical duty to others to maintain a healthy lifestyle and avoid foods, behaviors, and habits that produce sickness or disease.
So that seems pretty all-inclusive to anyone who believes in religious freedom, doesn't it? And I like the fact that they encourage healthy living and that they encourage belief in God and that it's open to a wide context of interpretation. You know, Catholics, Protestants, Mormon, Jews, and other organizations are pretty widespread.
LHS could be a fit where others are not. And in terms of their billing, members have a card with their member ID on it, and you provide the bills to the medical provider, the doctor, the hospital, whatever, will send the bills directly to the LHS headquarters. And they are there verified for eligibility, and they obtain or negotiate discounts for you and then coordinate payment directly to the provider. So you don't have to get involved in
that. No, but you have to make sure that that provider is accepting.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, anytime you go to the doctor for anything today, what's the first thing they ask you for? Let me see your insurance card. It's just a way of life anymore.
Yeah, so when you make the appointment, ask the question.
Definitely. So the third program is MediShare, MEDI-Share. And it started in 1993, and it serves about 325,000 members. And they have facilitated sharing of more than $2 billion in medical bills. And this one looks most like the traditional insurance out of the four programs we're talking about now.
So out of the box, it doesn't have any lifetime or per illness incident maximums. So it makes it unique among the four programs. Members do have an annual household portion. That's like a family deductible. And that must be used up before the sharing kicks in. And they have different levels of options that range from a $500 AHP or family deductible to as much as $10,000. And so that would be just like a high deductible program that you would get with a traditional insurance company.
You know, the other thing about MediShare is that it has a separate senior assist program, which is meant for senior citizens over the age of 65 to supplement Medicare Parts A and Part B. So while other healthcare sharing options can supplement Medicare, they're priced no differently than the regular members. But for the MediShare, they have a different pricing structure for the seniors.
And that could be obtained for as little as $70 per month. And it has a $1,250 annual AHP or deductible. To become a member of MediShare, you must agree to a detailed statement of faith and attest to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And a church leader may be interviewed to verify that you are, in fact, a member of a church.
So the next one, the last one we're going to talk about today, is Samaritan Ministries, which started in 1991. And today they have 22,000 members. And
no, I believe that's 229,000 members.
Thank you. Yes, I skipped that little digit.
So you don't have the vision coverage.
Apparently I need it, don't I? And this one is the one that has a Catholic option to it. They have a branch of Samaritan that's specifically for Catholics. One of the key differences here is that rather than submitting medical bills and monthly shares to a centralized organization or a managed third-party account, the people actually send their sharing portion to each other. So, for example, if my monthly share amounts to $400, I might send a check to John in Colorado for $250, and I might send a check to Steve in Pennsylvania for $150.
And I've heard of this. Yeah. I've actually talked to people who've done that. The other thing is that they're currently setting up a PayPal plan that will help to integrate the electronic transfer of all these funds. So
if you're interested in one of these plans, dig into the details. Check out our blog for links to all the plans we mentioned.
And you will find that blog with the links to all the healthcare sharing programs that Evelyn and John just went through. Simply go to CompassCatholic.org. That's CompassCatholic.org. Click on blogs and look up the one that says healthcare sharing programs. And before we leave you today, let's get to one of our email questions. John and Evelyn, I am 26. My job offers a 401k and matches every 50 cents. How much should I contribute each paycheck? My husband also works for the same company, so how much should he contribute?
If you're 26 and you're starting to save for your retirement now, that's a fabulous position to be in because you've got a lot of time to let that money grow for you. So you should take advantage of every penny that your employer is going to match.
Yeah, I would probably try to be consistent in saving at least 10% of your income, so that means you're going to get another 5%, so the total that you would be saving is 15%. It's a really unusual situation where an employer will match 50% with no cap on it. That's an unbelievable situation, and I would take advantage of that as much as I could while at the same time maintaining a good budget and making sure that you're not shorting yourself in other areas of your budget categories.
You guys offer some great advice. Here's another one for you. Should we share household finances with our teenage sons, or is it best to keep them private? We do have some challenges right now, and I don't want to worry them or place any stress on them.
You know, I think anytime you can share whatever is appropriate with teenagers and even younger children as far as household finances, it's a good learning tool for them. I wouldn't give them all the ugly details if you're in a lot of financial trouble, but I would tell them that you've got debt you need to pay off or you're trying to save for a certain thing, and just give them the high-level view of what you're trying to do, and I think you'll be surprised how much they'll buckle down and help.
I would also, you know, how much you tell them depends on how old they are and how mature they are and their ability to maintain confidentiality.
And if you find yourself with a couple of financial questions that you would like some advice and some help on, by all means, email your questions to askask@compasscatholic.org. And for John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening. And remember, yes, I'm sure you know this one by heart, we upload a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday morning, bright and early. Simply go to CompassCatholic.org, scroll down, click on podcast. Not only will you see the most current, but you'll see a complete archive of all the podcasts that we have done. Thank you so much for listening. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.